Happy Easter, everyone. I'm happy to be with you today, and I'm especially happy to be able to speak to you on this beautiful morning because this is such a special day to me. It's special because all this week we've been celebrating the octave of Easter. That's the 8 days of Easter that conclude today on this, the second Sunday of Easter. Throughout the Easter season until Pentecost, we'll have the Easter candle lit before us, and we'll be wearing white vestments as a sign of victory and joy. As you heard, the Gloria is back, as well as the Alleluias, right? I'm also happy because I'm really glad Lent is over. For some reason, Lent seemed to be very long this year, so I'm glad we can move past some of the seriousness of Lent to genuine Easter joy. But there's another reason I'm particularly happy to be here today, and that's because this is Divine Mercy Sunday, a day when we celebrate the great gift of God's boundless mercy. Did you hear the words of our opening prayer? Father addressed the prayer to our God of everlasting mercy. And in the responsorial psalm, Megan beautifully sang, His mercy endures forever. And for a number of reasons, none of which I'm going to go into, the beauty of God's mercy is really important to me. But does it seem strange to you that the church chose to call this Sunday Divine Mercy Sunday? After all, we've been urged to take advantage of God's mercy all during Lent by coming to confession and receiving the gift of his mercy, the gift of forgiveness. You'd think that Lent would be the time to have a special day called Divine Mercy Sunday, wouldn't you? To remind us of how generous God is in forgiving our weaknesses and our sins. So, what? Did the church just make a mistake and put Divine Mercy Sunday in the wrong place? Well, that's what I'd like to speak to you about today. Today, our gospel continues the resurrection story, and we find the same disciples who abandoned Jesus at the crucifixion huddled together in fear and in shame. Jesus comes to them despite the locked doors, and he comes to them not with guilty accusations of how they abandoned him. He comes to them to bring them his peace. But his words to them were not a greeting. His words were his gift to them. Peace be with you. In his merciful love for them, he brought forgiveness for their faithlessness. And in doing that, he brought them peace. How relieved they must have all been. The divine mercy that manifests itself in forgiveness brought them peace and freed them from looking backward at the fear and shame and anger of their past failings. It freed them to move forward. Divine Mercy Sunday is right here where it belongs, because on this particular occasion, the church wants to remind us of what God wants us to understand. In his divine mercy, our Savior's blood has cleansed us and made us whole. There's no reason to go backward in regret, rehash old sins and old failings. In the peace that he has won for us by his blood, we're called to go forward in Easter joy. But there's more to the story. In that locked room, the disciples received the divine mercy that Christ gave them as his gift. The risen and glorified Christ gave them peace through forgiveness. And this is so very important. He called them to carry his peace into the world. We know how faithfully they carried that message and how Christ's peace flourished and spread as a result of their faithfulness. Faithlessness was transformed into faithfulness through forgiveness in order to lead them forward. How about that? Even though as flawed humans were unable to bring divine mercy into the world as Jesus did, we just aren't capable of that depth of love. We are capable of bringing divine-like peace to those we meet by doing what his followers did, by living the gift of forgiveness and peace that Christ brings by his grace to ordinary men and women who love him. This celebration is in the right place, because in the light of the resurrection, this could be called Carry Forgiveness Forward Sunday, couldn't it? And this is where the message of Divine Mercy Sunday becomes a little difficult, because it becomes challenging. For some, it even becomes impossible, because the path toward peace is only revealed in forgiveness. When I was young, well, when I was younger than I am now, and looking for meaning in my Christian life, my foster mother gave me a small bound copy of a book called The Imitation of Christ. Maybe some of you have a copy of that book. This particular edition had beautiful black and white drawings in it. And after reading a chapter, I'd look at one of the drawings and think about the lesson or idea of that chapter. One of the main drawings, and one of my favorites, was a rocky path spiraling up a mountain. All along the path were a number of travelers, and some of them have climbed so high that they practically disappeared in the brightness at the top of the mountain, where there appeared to be hosts of angels waiting for them. This drawing became a beautiful metaphor for me of how I was to live my life as a follower of Christ. There were a lot of lessons in that book. Some explained that as the path wound around the mountain, there were places that were smooth and easy, and others that were very hard to climb, even painful to get over. Other lessons pointed out that I needed to wait sometimes to help others in their climb. I could go on to all the various chapters, but the basic principle seemed to be that I was to continue to climb. I was to continue to climb the spiral upward, huh? And so, that's what I tried to do. And I was also reminded to avoid, with very few exceptions, anything that caused me to go backward down the spiral. In those years, it became clear to me that in order to make this metaphorical climb, there were important things I had to hold on to. I had to hold on to things like compassion and kindness and generosity and concern for others. I had to hold on to prayer. Took me quite a while to realize that, actually. I found that when I stayed close to the church, I could more clearly see some of the slippery spots and tripping points ahead of me before they caused me to fall. And most of all, I found that I needed to cling tightly to hope. As I got older, I started to see, too, that besides the things that were important to hold on to, there were also things I needed to let go of. Things that were too heavy to carry. Things that kept me from making any progress. Even some things that made me want to give up ground I had already traveled. Many of those were things that had to do with forgiveness. Things like my hatred for old enemies, the anger for people in my life who had injured me, the desire to settle the score with some of the people who had hurt me deeply, the sadness of being so disappointed by some of the people in my life. Can you see yourself journeying up that spiraling mountain? On this Divine Mercy Sunday, we're reminded that Jesus wants us to make our journey through life in peace, not in anger or fear or resentment. But in order to accept that peace, there are things in our lives, my dear friends, that we need to let go of. Things that deal very often with forgiveness and our inability to forgive. People we may need to forgive. I know, that's easier said than done, isn't it? We're aware that anger and hatred fog our mind and harden our hearts to God's love for us. And yet sometimes it's so hard to open our clenched fists and let that anger go. But the grace of forgiveness that our loving God offers today on Divine Mercy Sunday and throughout this holy Easter season, that grace gives us a place to start. Even though the journey of forgiveness may be long and difficult, today is a good place to start. Today is a good day to forgive because we most resemble God when we forgive our neighbor. We're freed during this Easter season, my friends, more than at any other time, freed to shift our focus from our pain to God's plan for our lives where it belongs. A divine plan that enables us to continue on the upward path toward life with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. How very fortunate I am to have the opportunity to conclude my words to you today with the very words Jesus gave his disciples. On this second Sunday of Easter, on this Divine Mercy Sunday,